Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex Half Year 2018 Results Conference Call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Charles Bourazes, Chief Executive Officer, Jacques Pernod, Chief Financial Officer, and Thierry Navarre, Chief Operating Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcement and presentation are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I'd like to remind everyone that the Safe Harbor statements apply to this presentation and to subsequent Q&A session. I'd now like to hand the call over to Philip Ludwig. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone. We will follow the usual format for today's call with Charles and Jacques taking you through the presentation on our half-year results and outlook before Thierry joins them for the Q&A. Before we begin, I want to say a few words about how we will conduct this call in relation to the approach from PAI Partners that our Board of Directors received on July the 6th. You will see in the press release we are simply confirming that, while our Board of Directors has not agreed to recommend an offer that would be made on the terms outlined in the approach, PAI are conducting a short period of due diligence. There can be no certainty that an offer would be made, and if so, on which terms and whether or not it would be recommended by the Ontex Board of Directors. For legal reasons that you may be familiar with, we are not permitted to say anything more on this subject and will not be doing so either in the prepared remarks or Q&A. In addition, our comments on outlook will be strictly limited to what we have set out in the press release and the prepared remarks in this presentation. Please remember this when asking your questions. So now I will hand over to Charles to begin the presentation. Charles, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Philippe, and good morning, everyone. We are reporting today a resilient set of results which demonstrate tangible progress against the priorities we set out at the full year. As we all recognize, current market conditions are extremely challenging, and Ontex, like others, is operating in a market facing forex headwinds and rising raw material costs. In this context, before I go into the results in detail, I want to spend a few moments updating you on the significant progress we have made. First, and I will go on slide 5, our top priority is to deliver sustainable improvements in our Brazil business over time. Ontex Brazil is a key part of our long-term growth plans, and despite the challenges that we have faced, we remain confident that the business will realize its full potential. We have taken several important steps to improve performance, including the significant restructuring of production capabilities we announced a couple of weeks ago in May. While it's still early days, we are starting to see some of the benefits, with Q2 sales up more than 50% versus Q1 in local currency, and with operational losses reducing through the period. Second, we are also aiming to deliver another year of resilient performance in the Ontex business outside of Brazil. And I'm pleased to report that we have achieved this during the first half. You've heard from us, as well as others, that market conditions remain challenging. Yet, demand for our products remains strong, with group like-for-like growth up more than 2 points on top of more than 5% last year. Importantly, we saw a return to positive price mix of around 1% as our pricing actions start taking effect. And while this will have some impact on future volume, it contributed to a sequential improvement in margins in Q2 versus Q1. There are early signs that the pricing outlook is turning more favorable, which has the potential to support margins in the medium term. Third, we will continue investing in initiatives to support profitable growth. Our innovation pipeline is delivering more value to consumers and customers. I will share more on this in a moment. As we said at the time of acquiring Grupo Mabe in 2016, after successfully integrating the existing business, we would look at entering the U.S., one of the world's largest markets, with retailer brands and leveraging the experience from our leadership position in Europe. Well, I'm pleased to say that our first differentiated diaper is now on the shelves of a major U.S. retailer. Our digital agenda is another important driver for future profitable growth, and we have further progress in the first half of 2018. Growing sales of our online customers, launching our own brand of organic tampons on the Alibaba platform, and most recently launching a direct-to-consumer subscription model service in France. Although these recent initiatives will not have a significant financial impact in 2018, they are an important strategic development, as we believe strongly that these trends will only accelerate, and as with retailer brands in developed markets and local hero brands in developing markets, we intend to capitalize on these trends. Last, but certainly not least, we continue to ramp up new capacity for baby and adult pumps to ensure sufficient capacity for our customers and our consumers. Now, let me go to the slide 6. We have brought to the market a certain number of innovation. And I start with the healthcare division, where Active and Dis provides consumers with incontinence solutions. With soft fit outside, 360 degree softness, very close to the body, cotton-like feeling, feels like real underwear, and confidence inside, ever fresh technology, long-lasting odor control, invisible and dry, a very absorbent compact core. 40% thinner than previous core. We have also the new Chanped Lighting Core range in Turkey, a new product with an exclusive light fit technology, an ultra compacted core, and answering the following needs. On one side, security, maximum absorption system with anti-leak barrier, comfort with super flexible materials, discretion with an ultra thin with odor neutralizing system, and femininity through a new shape and feminine design. We also launch in growth markets and in MMR a superior softness diaper. Consumers are increasingly looking for multi-sensorial experiences, superior softness experience, and we have a 3D embossing of top sheet to create a cushiony type of effect, which not only creates softness, but also makes it visual to the consumer, answering desire for cocooning and comfort with extra care for your baby. Then in Brazil, in the Americas retail division, we have under the brand Movimente launched an adult incontinence. Relaunch over March, May, with core adult pumps SKUs updated on the product design, packaging, and feminine version. Products deliver better performance than leader, as proven through home use tests. These two play in the only double-digit growing segments of the market, where one of our competitors, KC, has close to 70% of that segment. We also entered the small but growing lighting core segment with excellent products imported from Mexico, a way to leverage the innovations from our sister company. Also in Brazil, with the Crema brand, we upgraded, as stated before, the product lineup of our largest brand in Brazil, Crema caters to intermediate market to consumers seeking best value for money. Our product performs much better than the period generation, especially in a core attribute for our core targets, no leakage. In fact, our product is performing better than several more expensive competitors, reinforcing our mission. All that without adding costs as we switch to a more efficient product platform, part of our equity story when we acquired Brazil. In time of crisis, this is value engineering innovation that matters for the consumers. The new product started to be shipped in March, and the full lineup will be renewed by end of September. Now, let's switch to slide 7 and review our first half performance. It was a solid like-for-like revenue performance in H1 as we took steps to strike the balance between top line and profitability in the face of extreme forex and input cost headwinds and a challenging market in baby. Group like-for-like sales excluding Brazil were up 2.2% year-on-year. This was evenly split between volume and price mix, as we work with our customers to recover rising input costs. We saw very strong contributions from adult inco and feminine care, both up 5%, while group like-for-like sales growth, including Brazil, were up just 0.4% year-on-year in H1. We had strong sequential growth in Brazil. As I mentioned, this is early evidence that our recovery plan is working and start working. Jacques will comment on profitability shortly, but our actions resulted in adjusted EBITDA margin continuing to improve sequentially. And on Forex more specifically, the 10.4% margin we have reported today was significantly impacted by 50 bips of Forex headwinds and rising input costs since the start of the year. And our core business, excluding Brazil, delivered margins of 11.6% in H1, a robust performance given the context. So we are operating in something of a perfect storm, but storms do not last forever. And the business is responding well to the things we are putting in place and that are in our control. For example, and not shown here, our actions to refinance last year have resulted in lower interest charges, which have helped in the drop through to EPS. Finally, in terms of net debt and leverage, they have evolved as expected, based upon the full year dividend payment in Q2, investment in adult and baby pons production capacity, and upgrade of the Brazil production assets, among other things. Working capital stays within our target of 12% or less, and the leverage calculation adjusted EBITDA in H1 2018 was impacted by the raw material and the forex headwinds. Now, if you flip to slide 8, in the first half of 2018, our markets declined slightly in value versus last year, with strong growth in the adult inco category, lower sales in the baby care category, and the fem care category broadly unchanged. In these challenging markets, like-for-like revenue plus 2.2% outside of Brazil is a solid performance, in line with what we stated at the IPO. We are pleased with the balance of growth coming from both volume and price mix. Our pricing actions will have some impact on volumes, and as I mentioned, there are early signs that the pricing outlook is becoming more favorable. We continue to see strong growth in adult inco and fem care. More on these categories in a moment. Group like-for-like growth of 0.4% reflects the impact of the year-on-year decline in Brazil, but we are encouraged by the significant sequential improvement in sales in Brazil in Q2 versus Q1, supported by new innovations in markets and the actions of our new leadership. Let me go now into the category review that is on slide 9. In baby care, our largest category and the largest worldwide, there are some challenges as well as opportunities. Lower diaper volumes in Brazil masking competitive growth in most of our other markets, but continued strong growth in baby pumps, up high single digits in H1, with very strong momentum in Europe, supported by new production capacity coming online. Adult Inco continues to deliver consistent high-quality growth, with like-for-like revenue up more than 5% in H1, led by a 9% increase in retail channel, and once again, growth in pumps was significantly higher, up mid-teens in H1. And finally, FemCare, where we have seen accelerating growth, with like-for-like revenue also up more than 5% in H1, primarily driven by new organic cotton tampon business, where consumers are increasingly looking for attractive alternatives to international brands, a trend that we are well positioned to benefit from. Now, let's go through the different division, and I start in slide 10 with mature markets. Our mature markets business performed increasingly well through the first half, with an acceleration in like-for-like growth in Q2 versus Q1. Importantly, our mature markets business also delivered a balance of positive volumes and price mix, with our pricing actions starting in Q2, supporting 1.7% growth in Q2 and into 2019. Sales of retailer brand diapers continue to represent more than half of the all diaper volume sold in the markets of our mature market retail division, confirming the long-term trend of consumers turning to high-quality, innovative products offered by leading retailers. We are privileged to be the leading partner by far to retailers who want to win in our MMR markets and continue to help them build their business in key traffic generating categories. As you know, we expect to lose some volumes on a short-term basis due to price competition, but are focused on supporting our retailer customers and winning profitable new businesses. Now, let's move to slide 11, Americas Retail. Our like-for-like growth was down 2.5% year-on-year against a very tough comparable, plus 15%, 1.5, like-for-like. Reported growth was very significantly impacted by Forex. Noteworthy, excluding Brazil, like-for-like revenue was up 5.6%, led by ongoing success of local brands in baby care and adult inco in Mexico, where this business continues to perform very well. More broadly, in this division, there are two specific developments that I would like to spend some time on, because they reflect the efforts that we are putting into this new division. First, in Brazil, where there are some early indications that the actions we are taking on cost and commercial agendas are starting to have an impact. Our constant currency revenues are up more than 50%, 5-0, in Q2 versus Q1. Do not get too carried away by that, because Q1 was an acceptably low bar. But it is the first step in the right direction, and it is a reflection of both new sales disciplines and also the arrival of the market of the new innovative products we are currently launching. We also announced a significant restructuring involving production consolidation, and taken together these actions have resulted in a loss in Q2 that was less than in Q1. Again, we do not get carried away because we didn't buy this business to make no money. But after the challenges we have faced since acquisition, it is another step in the right direction. We are under no illusion that we need to fix Brazil and that the challenging market for consumer staples that you have heard about from others makes this more challenging. But we are also no less enthusiastic about the long-term opportunity in the fourth largest hygiene market in the world. And we are confident that having started to turn a corner, this business will deliver strongly for Ontex over the long term. Now, the second development to highlight in the Americas retail division is in the US. You will probably remember that when we acquired the Mabe business in Mexico, the objective was to use this as a hub to open up this region. You will also probably recall that the opportunity for retailer brands in the US is significant, especially as the penetration of retailer brands is half that seen in Western Europe, 20% against 40%. It is therefore highly significant that we have started shipping our first highly differentiated retailer brand diaper to major US retailer in Q2 2018. Our team there has done an excellent job in working with retailers in the US to showcase our abilities to drive their business, and as we start from a zero base, we are confident of gaining new business going forward. Let's turn now to growth markets on slide 12. This business continues to be a strong engine of growth for our business, with like-for-like growth of 11.6% in H1 2018, on top of a solid comparable last year. In constant currency, this business has grown profitably since IPO. The H1 results reflected broad-based growth across geographies and categories, once again driven by higher volumes and positive price mix, and a further acceleration of baby pumps business. We have seen continuous growth in Russian and Eastern European businesses despite strong forex headwinds and a challenging competitive landscape. And with our Ethiopian plant ramp-up continuing, supplying strong demand for the Chan Bebe diaper brand, we are well positioned to continue supporting the growth of this business. Now let's travel to MENA on slide 13. You will recall that it was a very tough start to 2018 for this business, and despite clear improvement in Q2, like-for-like revenue is down 8.3% for the first half. Once again, the impact of Forex was very clear. A tough competitive environment in Turkey baby care, 1% of our overall revenue, continues with market volumes lower. In this environment, the increased pricing the business has achieved is representative of our longer-term focus on doing profitable business. In these markets, if you are not going to chase contracts on lower prices, it is essential that you're bringing new innovations and capabilities to the market that will encourage customers to choose you. In the first half of the year, we launched new innovative diapers in Turkey and Algeria with encouraging results so far, leveraging our local marketing and R&D. So why we saw lower export sales in the first half? Due to lack of liquidity of some customers, we see signs of improvement in H2. So let's go now to the healthcare division on slide 14. This business has had solid growth over the last 12 months and had almost 3% growth in H1 2018. And as a largely Western European euro-denominated business, reported revenue was only slightly below like-for revenue. We have seen real success in our commercial efforts in this business, for example, with success in adult pumps, and new business wins have contributed to higher volumes in most geographies. And our focus on delivering innovative products that respond to customer needs has also resulted in continued growth in light inco products. So, in terms of operational performance, summarize, the core of our business continues to perform very well in challenging markets. In Brazil, we have a long road ahead, but we have turned the corner and our performance demonstrates that we are firmly heading in the right direction. The investments that we are making are differentiating our offer and strengthening our platform for future growth. And there are some real causes for encouragement across our business, including positive pricing in the first half, strong growth in adult and baby pumps that we can support through our investment in new capacity, accelerated growth in healthcare and femcare, and our first retailer brand contract in the U.S. Now, I will turn the call over to Jacques for an overview of the financial performance. Jacques, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Charles. Good morning, everybody. I think today I'm going to be rather brief because Charles has already presented a lot about our performance. Talking about the EBITDA margin and our margins on slide 16. On the right side of this slide, you can see a graph showing the evolution of our margins. And in terms of how we are managing our margins in 2018, we had said that our actions would include price, mix, and cost saving. And I'm pleased to see that our efforts in H1 18 have delivered higher price mix and strong capture of savings across the group. As a result, excluding Brazil, Ontex's gross margin in H1 was in line with the level of a year ago. Bearing in mind the strong increase of input costs and FX headwinds, this is a very resilient performance. Including Brazil, gross margin of 317 million was 4.7% lower than last year and was down 52 basis points as percentage of sales. We achieved 10.4% reported adjusted EBITDA margin in H1 with consecutive quarterly improvements from the 9.2% in Q4 17, so Q4 last year. While tightly managing costs, we continued to invest behind sales, marketing, and R&D as these will definitely be the drivers of future growth. Our adjusted EBITDA at constant currency would have been 10.9%, which illustrates how material FX has been. And then, excluding Brazil, which demonstrated improvement as H1 progressed, adjusted EBITDA margin was 11.6. Again, a very strong performance in the current environment. So, that's it for margin. Now, I'd like you to move to slide 17 to have a quick look on non-recurring items. H1 18 non-recurring expenses amounted, you see, to 10 million, and most of these costs are related to the consolidation of production in Brazil and to acquisition-related expenses. Nothing special on top of that. Which allow us to already move to slide 18 with the free cash flow. You can see our adjusted free cash flow declined to 36 million in the first half. This was mainly due to lower EBITDA, which, as I have highlighted, was impacted by raw material and FX headwinds. The working capital remains under control within our 12% guidance, let's say, range, with a significant improvement in trade receivables in this half year. The lower free cash flow is also a function of higher capex, as we invest in adult and baby pants, and also in diaper lines in Brazil. As a result, we expect our full-year capex to be around 5% of sales. I disclose the financial part, and I will now hand over back to Charles. Charles?
Thank you, Jacques. Well, to conclude with our outlook, it is on slide 20. We aim to outperform our markets by delivering a low single-digit like-for-like revenue growth for 2018 in broadly what we call a flat hygiene market. And please remember that we are cycling like-for-like growth of more than 5% last year. For the balance of 2018, we expect that the hygiene industry will continue to face raw material headwinds, and at current rates, Forex will have a negative impact on revenue and EBITDA. Notwithstanding these headwinds, we anticipate that adjusted EBITDA margins will improve in H2 as our actions, including pricing, which will result in some volume losses, mix also and cost savings, as well as new product launches, and an improving performance in Brazil increasingly take effect. With that, I would now like to hand the call back to the operator and take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Thank you. We'll now take our first question today from Reg Watson from ING. Please go ahead.
Morning, gents. I'd just like to ask a question on Brazil, the inventory levels. I think at one you mentioned that they were 3 to 4 months in the channel. Where are they today?
Perhaps Thierry, you want to answer that question?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Yeah, indeed, we were mentioning beginning of the year that was still high while it was decreasing through 17, but still high at the beginning of the year. and the trend has continued to go down. And for most of the product categories, it's been normalized now, but not all. So on the mix of product and customers, it's not yet fully normalized, but we are almost there, which obviously allow us to be much more punchy in terms of the actions that we are putting in place, because the impact is much faster into the market.
Okay, thank you. And with that, with the 52% increase sequential in Brazil, how much of that is sell-through of the old product, and how much of that is related to the launch of the new lines, the new machines?
Well, the launches of the new lines of the new lines on the machines is just starting, so you've got a kind of a ramp up of that. So it's clear that in the Q1, this has been driven, a big part is driven by the reductions of the inventory, because you know, and that's why whilst it's reducing, and we are picking up sales back again in the course of Q2, and then accelerating with the product innovations that we are starting to roll up.
Okay.
So just for you to clarify, is there's only one brand that is with the new product yet, huh?
Yeah.
So in fact it's minor, because it's affecting only a part of Q2 and only one brand. So the major part of the Q2 growth is still driven by the core of the business.
Okay. So does that Q2 number represent a sort of a normalized run rate for the old product, as it were, and then we add the new product on top in Q3 and 4?
Well, it's not a normalized run rate as such. Well, we are in a turnaround mode into Brazil, and now we continue to ramp up. What is important for us is the sequential improvements quarter after quarter, and actually month after month, looking at the latest trading. And as we are rolling out the new product, this is expected to continue on the same trend as a momentum.
Okay.
Yeah, you cannot call that a normalized run rate. Now, the sequence of events was clean the place first, then second, prepare the relaunch by building the capacity and prepare the production of the new products, then start listing the new products. It goes step by step, account by account, region by region, and this takes time. So it's not like in 3 months that you do that. So by definition, you cannot qualify this as normalized.
Okay, thank you. And Charles, you mentioned the direct to consumer in France. This strikes me as a very exciting innovation going forward. What expectations do you have in terms of sales value for this? And how are you positioning this in terms of the risk that it disintermediates your white label customers?
So it's a very good question. Thanks for that one. I think there's two parts. First, it's as we said, it's just starting. So by definition, it's a learning journey. I would say if you look at the categories where we operate, does it make sense strategically over time? Definitively, yes. I'm sure you're familiar with the Dollar Shave Club story in the U.S. That's pretty logic, that consumers in some categories want to get a service. And really the service is being able to receive the product at home without bothering, get the direct payment, and get the replenishment without wondering whether they have enough stock at inventory at home. So the principle is this part of the business for me will be more considered as a service business rather than consumer goods classic business. The second part of your question is how it works. I think our model is very strict and very straightforward. We are there in Western Europe to help all retailers to build their brands against the international brands. So when a consumer wants to shop and likes the products of the retailers, whether it's in the store or whether it's combined with other goods and services that they buy through their websites, we are there to support them 150%. That's the DNA of the company, and really wants to make sure that as the leader of retail brand in Europe by far, we want to help all our partners retailers to make this difference. Now, the second part of it, that is the direct-to-consumer, is really a service provider at a super premium. So we know that the positioning of the retailer brands is more to deliver same type or even better products at an affordable cost against the international brands. In that case, what we offer is a premium service to mothers and fathers so that they can get access to the diaper at home without bothering. So the price index is significantly higher even to the A brands, so there's no competition at all between the channels. And that's, in our view, a point of differentiation.
Sorry, so can I just clarify that? So when you say the price index is high, you mean people will pay more for the home delivery than going to the supermarket and buying an A brand?
I think so. I think there's no free ride in life. You bring a service, there is a cost associated. The current pricing environment through internet sales, through direct-to-consumer, is above 150 index to the premium brands on retail channel. So the position we'll take is the same.
Yeah.
So the position we'll take is the same. It's more affordable with better products. So let's call it 130 or 125. But by definition, it's nothing to compare with the price in stores where you deliver centrally and then after you get the self.
Okay, so you won't compete with your customers on price, but certainly the margins to Ontex ought to be enormous.
I don't think, I think we'll have to ask all the guys.
Reg, I think, given the time constraints, I'm happy to take this up
sure.
with you line. So
absolutely, no, that's fine. Sorry, one final question. You said in your opening remarks that you wouldn't discuss anything specific about PAI or the bid itself. I do have one question, though. Under Belgian law, you are obliged to open your books to other interested parties as well as PAI now that you've opened your books to PAI. I'd like to ask how many other people have taken a look at your books.
Reg, I think we won't answer that one. I think we need to move. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. But
that's okay.
What about what we can say?
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to give everyone an opportunity to ask questions today, please limit yourself to asking two questions. Thank you. We'll now move to our next question today from Alan Vandenberg from KBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having my questions. I have two, as I'm limited. My first one is, in the 2Q results, you explicitly mentioned price increases in MMR. I was wondering if you could quantify or at least provide some color on the weather and to what extent it triggered contract losses in MMR. Furthermore, related to that, in your guidance, obviously, you also explicitly mentioned, but more generally, pricing increasing, resulting in volume losses. And I was also wondering connected to that, if these volume losses would only be in MMR, or if you would see that in other divisions as well, and if yes, in which division. So that's the first question. Second question is regarding the net debt position. I was wondering if you could provide an update on the factoring balance at the end of the first half. I think it was 175 million at the end of the year. I was wondering if that fluctuated in the first half. And then maybe an add-on to that, if you could just remind me what your debt covenant or leverage covenant is under your current facility agreement, that would be very useful. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the two questions that are a bit long, but that's smart. That's the rule of the road. The first one, I suggest Thierry to answer it. The second one, I will pass the mic to Jacques to answer it. So.
Okay, so on the MMR, clearly, and it's MMR as well as the other divisions, by the way, given the context, as we said, pricing is one of the components of our overall plans to manage profitability for the business. And clearly in MMR, more difficult to move forward from that because it's, the core product we're talking about. It's a shared responsibility with the retailers. Given that, we are the leader of the market in there, and we could not just pause given the context we are operating in. And we've moved with pricing. And I'm pretty pleased with the job that the team has done over there. And so far, we see that this will have an impact definitely on our balance of gains and losses. But, you know, it was expected in a way, and there is nothing so far that we have seen that goes beyond what we had in our mind. So, and even I would say even so, it's more favorable than what we expected in terms of the gains and losses balances that we were going to see realizing moving forward. So that's on it on the MMR side. Knowing that, you know, going forward in terms of the growth and the impact on the other divisions, we said that we are aiming to outperform all markets going forward on a like-for-like basis. This is still our aim, and we are going to play with the mix and of our divisions and portfolios and geographies to be as resilient as possible to go through that storm. And I would say until Q2, so far so good in terms of the type of actions that we have implemented.
So now I suggest that, Jack, you take the question regarding the net debt position as well as the covenants on the on the leverage.
Sure. So on our net debt, and I don't know where comes the figure. I think you mentioned 135 million end of 17, which is 175 or 130, I would say we are now at the same level as we were end of 17, so exactly the same program. Impact, obviously, if we compute the leverage, you see we publish a leverage of 325. If we include the factoring, it goes to 3.9, or roughly 3.9, so it's higher, obviously. But all our computation for debt covenant are not including factoring, and we have also other, changes, which means that if we would compute today our debt covenant coverage, it would be around 3. Which is far below the debt covenant we have, which are more around 4. And as we said, where we like to stay is to stay below 3.5. So nothing has changed versus what we have said since many, many quarters.
Okay, thank you very much. Operator?
Thank you. We'll now go to our next question from Ian Wood from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Hi, all. Thanks for taking my question today. So the first one, I'd like to ask a little bit more about this product you're shipping to a major North American retailer. I think you said in the statement that it was a highly differentiated product. Could you give us some feeling as to the pricing tier that this will sit at and how it compares to what is currently in the market from the leading private label suppliers there?
Yeah, so thanks for the question. If your question about the pricing is the pricing to consumers or if it's the pricing to retailers, we never give any direction, so it's very simple because it's competitive information. And in terms of pricing, I think it's more to the consumer, it's the strategy of the retailer. So the best, in all fairness, to this one is you look at the website or even at the product, and you will see how price they are. What is very important is, as I said, let's not get carried away. It's a starting point. It's one part of the retail. It's a small contract. It's less than 10% of their business, so which leads us to be optimistic on the potential growth, as we stated already in the previous calls. It's no news. We said the market, as a reminder, is a $10.2 billion market in the U.S. Retail brand share is 20%, so that leads you to $2.4 billion of sales
as the opportunity of retail brand in the U.S. So 2.4 billion of sales, we are far from that, as you can imagine. It's a tiny part. It's almost insignificant at the scale of the U.S. market, but of course it's not insignificant at the scale of America's retail division and OTEX. And in all fairness, what matters is not the pricing, is the ability to differentiate our products versus competition. And this is what is interesting the retailers. U.S. retailers have been complaining, or at least are suffering from pretty standardized retail brand products. And they believe that we can bring differentiation, which is our positioning, our DNA in Europe, where we are the market leader.
Thank you. We will now go to our next question from Eric Wilmer from ABN AMRO.
Hi, good morning. Two questions. First, what trend do you see in pricing and promotions in Brazil for Ontex and its peers during the second quarter? And second, would it be possible to give a little bit more color on what the U.S. contract win may imply for the possible setup of a local production facility, taking into account production capacity limits in Mexico? You mentioned it's a very small deal, but still, what this may imply. Thank you.
So the first one relates to Brazil Q2, if I understood correctly, is the trend versus Q1 and the previous year. And the second one is on capacity ramp-up in the U.S. So I will, I think those two questions make a lot of sense for Thierry to answer. So I'll pass the mic to Thierry.
Yeah, so the, on the first one regarding the trends, Q2 versus Q1, actually we don't see any real changes there. There is still a lot of competition and tensions around pricing and promotional activities. And so we are operating in the same environment. So on that one, no changes. And we continue to roll out our plans and execute. Focus of the team is execution of the plan, because the plan is pretty clear outlined in all the different areas of the business. Now it's execution. And this is the main priorities of the team. Turning now to the U.S. Facility, you may remember that I mentioned previously that in order to support your ultimate goals into developing your business into the U.S., we ultimately will need a footprint in the territory. When it will come, this is something that we will inform you in due course. For the moment, Charles mentioned it. It's the beginning. We are starting to ship a major retailer over there. It's done out of Mexico and also for some product out of Europe. And, you know, as we ramp up the business, we will adapt our footprint accordingly. For the moment, there is absolutely no issues to supply it from the existing footprint.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have available for questions. I would now like to hand the call back to Mr. Bouazes for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. So in summary, after starting the year facing rising input costs, strong forex headwinds, and a disappointing finish in Brazil, we are very pleased with the performance of Ontex excluding Brazil, outperforming our markets with more than 2% like-for-like, and demonstrated resilience with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 11.6%, both helped by improved price and mix. Brazil showed clear improvement in the second quarter, and our team is focused on continuing to implement plans to improve the business. And finally, our performance continues to benefit from a strong pipeline of innovations, and we remain focused on pursuing new opportunities arising from digital trends in our categories. With that, I wish you all a very good summer and see you for the next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes Ontex's half-year 2018 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.